How's it going? Hope you've had a superb sporting week. Yep, it's that time of the week again. Thanks for joining us. This is Talking Point. Welcome to it. My name's Trevor Cramer. The Cricket World Cup in India, that's done and dusted, an Aussie miracle, if we can call it that. No other way really of describing it. The United Rugby Championship, that's well underway. And it's that time of the year again for the Sunshine Tour's summer swing, the Joburg Open, underway at the Houghton Golf Club in Jersey. Joining me on the Talking Point studio this week, a regular on our Talking Point podcast, a mind of sporting information, the head of Citizen Sport. Welcome back, Jacques van der Westhuizen.
Yeah, Trev, how's it? Thanks. Thanks, everybody.
And on the Talking Point hotline, great to have him back on our show. He's known in our circles as South Africa's golf guru, a published author, Sunshine Tour publicist, among other exploits, extremely knowledgeable in his specialist field of golf, but also dabbles in other sporting codes. Thanks for joining us on Talking Point. Welcome, Michael Flismas.
Thanks so much, Trevor. Good to be with you, and good to be with you, Jacques.
Yeah, thanks, too.
Let's tee it off with golf this week. Michael's a pretty busy man, so I don't want to keep him for too long. Now, essentially, calendar-wise, the Joburg Open at Houghton this week, Michael, it's the start of the new DP World Tour swing, part of our local Sunshine Tour. England's Dan Bradbury, the defending champion, but as always, we'd all love to see a South African name engraved on the trophy again. Strong South African presence at Houghton this week. A few possible contenders come to mind. We've seen Christian Bezuidenhout. Hopefully he's emerging from his slump. Thurston Lawrence, we've seen his name around. Of course, Dean Burmester, Brandon Grace, and some, of course. Nine former champions in all in the field. But I'll rather hear it from you. Some pundits saying this week it's hard to see beyond a homeborn winner this week, Michael. Any potential local men to watch this week?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's as you said, it's that time of the year when the South African pros are on home fairways and notoriously hard to beat at home. The Europeans often joke about it. Very hard to come down here and beat a South African on golf courses that they've been playing since their junior golf days. It is a different game for the internationals that come down here. You know, it's different grass. It's getting used to Kikuyu grass. They don't see a lot of it out on tour. So, you know, even though there are a number of Europeans that have been coming out here for many, many years, it still takes some getting used to. And just, you know, having that sort of embedded in the South African golfer's mind, having played this kind of course and in these kind of conditions since they were youngsters, it's a huge advantage. You mentioned the former champions that have come back for this event. It was nine. Unfortunately, Brandon Grace withdrawing on the eve of the tournament. But we still have eight former champions in this field. And I think, you know, that's close to possibly a record for a Sunshine Tour DP World Tour co-sanctioned event. It really is a wonderful endorsement of what this particular tournament, the Joburg Open, certainly has meant to many of their careers.
Just from my side, you know, just Trevor mentioned it briefly there, but some of the hot golfers at the moment, obviously, you know, Dan Bradbury's had a fantastic year, you know, since winning in Joburg last year. He's done well on the DP World Tour, but a guy like Thurston Lawrence as well, and he was great last week in Dubai. Is he a guy, and is Bradbury, are they maybe the two guys that we need to watch out for?
Yeah, Bradbury, obviously, you know, just kicking on so well from that maiden victory. I mean, he had no status anywhere in the world, you know, played on an invitation last November. It was like his third professional tournament. And look at him now. He's a regular DP World Tour contender. Yeah. So, you know, it's always great coming back to a golf course where you've won and done well. You know, you just those good feelings, as they say. So he will certainly be somebody to watch. Tristan Lawrence, you know, just been phenomenal what he's achieved in the last 20-25 months. You know, four DP World Tour titles, and he just keeps getting better. He's come back very much with a desire to add another South African title. You know, he's defending next week in the Investec SA Open. So he's certainly hungry enough, and again, knows this golf course since his junior days. And you know, I think you're also looking at guys like Xander Lombard. You're looking at guys like you mentioned Christian Besaidenhout. You know, Christian finished tied third last year in this event. He's been working on his swing, been you know, changed coach, changed a number of elements of his team, and he's just been trying to bed that down for a couple of months now, in terms of getting consistency in those changes. Also, just become a dad 3 weeks ago for the first time, so a lot of change in his life coming into this event. And then you look at guys like Brandon Stone, you know, winning back their DP World Tour cards, and this being the first event of the new season. Jacques Kruijswijk, earning himself a DP World Tour card. There's a lot of sort of a lot of hunger out there from them as well to start the season really well at home. So, it, you know, it's always so difficult to predict in a field of 155 pros. But yeah, I definitely think you can sort of say you're looking at a South African that wants to put up their hands. Casey Jarvis, also the owner of a DP World Tour card now. You know, he threatened in this event last year, and he's just looking like it's only a matter of time before he breaks through and wins.
Michael, scorching heat in Johannesburg at present. Talk us very quickly through how the course, nestling in Joburg's leafy northern suburbs, is likely to play. I happen to live very nearby. It's a beautiful course, a tree-lined course with a fair deal of water and quite a bit of sand, unforgiving on the wayward tee shots, it would seem.
Yes, it is. You know, it's not a very long golf course. Everything on this golf course boils down to the greens. The greens are very, very tricky. It's the course's greatest defense and greatest asset. You know, it's looking spectacular, gentlemen. I must say, you know, I did a walk around yesterday, and it is in sublime shape. It just looks so good out there, and the greens look so pure. So, you know, it's really going to come. It sounds like such a cliche, but it is. It's going to come down to putting and who can manage the greens the best here. There is a, you know, today already there is a little bit of a breeze out here. So that always keeps things interesting. As you said, you know, golf is a game best played from the middle of the fairway. So you know, going left or right is always going to make it harder, especially on a parkland course. But yeah, certainly, you know, if you've got your eye dialed in with a putter, that's going to be the key this week.
Added incentive this week, Michael, at the Joburg Open. There's also three places up for grabs at next year's Open Championship at Royal Troon to the top three.
Yeah, and you know, that's again, you know, that's such a, you know, a positive for South African golf. You know, that's why the Sunshine Tour is such a strong tour. You know, it's creating that pathway. And it's a global pathway. You know, it really is. For a young South African golfer starting in the game, you know, you've got Golf RSA at amateur level. You work your way through the ranks. They develop you. You move on to elite amateur status. You play internationally. Next step is the Sunshine Tour, because you can see the pathway right all the way through to PGA Tour and major championship level. You know, you get onto the Sunshine Tour. You get onto the DP World Tour through the with the PGA Tour cards being offered through the DP World Tour, there's a pathway to America as well. So to a major, the Open Championship next year, for the top three players who are not exempt for it. So field, it's a wonderful incentive, you know, to play major championship golf. And that really is just another doorway that the Sunshine Tour and South African Golf opens for South African professionals.
A busy few weeks on the Sunshine Tour and the DP Tour, the DP World Tour, the South African Swing, there's the SA Open at Blair Athol, the Alfred Dunhill Championship coming up at Leopard Creek. An exciting 3 weeks ahead. The Sunshine Tour is certainly thriving, Michael.
It is, Trevor. You know, it's the strongest it's ever been. You know, I've covered the tour for 30 plus years, and it's certainly the strongest it's ever been in terms of its schedule, in terms of how many tournaments there are. But again, in terms of that global alliance that it has, you know, it has, I don't think people always appreciate it. It has such strong relationships with the DP World Tour and with the PGA Tour. It has really strong relationships with the majors. You know, we're talking about solid relationships with Augusta National and the Masters, and just is such a well-respected organization. And with that status comes the ability to really maximize what you can do for the member professionals and for your South African pros. And that's why you see so many internationals come down here as well, and they know that there's a lot to be had and a lot to be played for on the Sunshine Tour, and it really is a stepping stone to some pretty big aspirations you would have as a professional. So it's very strong. It's got some great partners, some good sponsors on board who are in it for the long haul, and they certainly get value. I mean, this week the DP World Tour package going to 490 million households worldwide. You know, that's a powerful advertisement for anybody who's associated with a Sunshine Tour DP World Tour co-sanctioned event for 1 week.
Mark, just finally from my side, maybe a bit of a prickly issue, I'm not so sure. You know, we've got this whole issue that's been around for the last year or whatever regarding, you know, LIV golf and that sort of thing, and certain guys going back to certain tours. A guy like Dean Burmester, for example, played mainly LIV golf this year. He comes back to play in South Africa. You know, what is the relationship like between a guy like him and maybe some of the other guys who play regularly locally and DP World Tour golf and that sort of thing? Are there still, you know, just briefly, are there still any issues at stake, or is it a matter of, you know, the guys, you know, accept that they play wherever they play now and it's not a big deal? I mean, has that died down a little bit, that whole LIV golf issue?
Yeah, Jacques, I think it's very much a case of the latter. You know, whatever's happening there at that level of the game and talks with the PGA Tour and DP World Tour and where that goes, nobody's really sure at the moment and where that's going to land. But you know, this week, Charles Schwartzel here, Dean Burmester here, Brandon was meant to be here, but unfortunately withdrew. You know, next week, you know, the same thing at the Investec SA Open, then Alfred Daniel Championship. That entire Stingers golf team has entered for the Alfred Daniel Championship. So, you know, the Sunshine Tour's standpoint right from the beginning has been that, you know, they don't have a role in this argument at the moment, and it's not something that they need to rule on or decide on. It's at a PGA Tour level, it's a DP World Tour level. It's not something within their region at the moment, and as such, these are some of South African golf's biggest stars, and they are major draw cards for sponsors and the tour when they come home. So, you know, they've played very much a neutral role in it up until this point.
Golf expert, journalist and author Michael Flismus, thanks for your time. Great, as always, sharing your insight and your knowledge about this wonderful game of golf. Hope to chat to you again in the near future. Thanks for joining us. And before we wrap it today, let's just hone in on our Proteas. We're talking cricket. Another disappointment, losing in the semi-finals to the resurgent Aussies, but certainly made a fist of it in the World Cup semi-final. Perhaps a touch unfair to use the C word at any time. No point in unpacking that game again more than a week after the fact, but sadly there's still an ugly smell wafting around the air at the moment. The attention has shifted sadly to the role of ODI captain Themba Bavuma as both a batsman and a captain. Some vicious attacks on him personally by some media quarters, viral cartoons amongst them. Grossly unfair, perhaps, at times, but kudos to him, though, for keeping his dignity and not getting into a social media war. Now, how does SA Cricket, or Cricket South Africa, take stock of all this, and where to now for our white ball game? Your take, Jacques.
It's a tricky one, Trevor. You know, we were really looking good at a stage in India, and, you know, it's just falling short when it really mattered, as India did when it mattered to them in the final. It's disappointing once again that we lost, but it's sport. These things happen, and I think that's the way we need to view it. You know, the Proteas haven't gone all the way to the final before, and it remains sad, you know, that we've produced so many great teams and players over the years, yet that world title eludes us. I think, you know, Rob Walters built a nice team there. I think we just need to keep plugging away, perhaps bring in some fresh young faces, certainly for the next 4 years, looking ahead to the future. A lot of the guys who were in India now are going to be, you know, out of the game and possibly retired in 4 years' time. So we need to get those youngsters in, I think, as soon as possible. And then, you know, we just need to keep going at it. The unfortunate thing, of course, is that, you know, with cricket, the way it's structured in the world now, South Africa don't nearly get as many opportunities as the Aussies and the English and perhaps the Indians do. So, you know, it's a tough one, but I think the future looks good. We've got some bright talent coming through, and I think we can look forward to a nice, you know, Indian series coming up over the festive season, and hopefully, you know, we can play some good cricket there and, you know, make everybody who follows cricket a bit, give them a bit of a cheer and a bit of happiness. And, yeah, I don't think we need to be too much in the doldrums. Our cricket isn't in a bad shape. It really isn't. We really played some good cricket at the World Cup, and we just happened to fall short on the day. Yeah, there were some things we can look back on, maybe some captaincy decisions, maybe team decisions. We don't know what was said behind closed doors before the toss. We don't know what other decisions were, you know, discussed and debated before the match even started. So, you know, just to single out Themba Bavuma is grossly unfair. On the day, a number of the batsmen failed, a number of bowlers performed poorly when, you know, they needed to shine. So it's a collective, really. Yes, Themba didn't have a great World Cup, but you know what, it happens to everybody at some stage. But yeah, somebody will have to, you know, look at this captaincy issue now in the new year, and let's see what happens.
And then, of course, well, nobody really saw it coming, did they? Seemingly unstoppable Indian juggernaut beaten in the game that counted the most. Let's do a quick pop pass across to rugby matters now. Match day 6 of the United Rugby Championship coming up this week. The South African team's limping along at the moment, it has to be said, not faring very well. Only the Stormers still on the road at the moment. They still got Cardiff to play this week. The Lions, Bulls and Sharks back on home turf. The Bulls are the highest-placed South African team in 7th, but only 5 points off the leaders, Leinster. Stormers languishing down in 9th, the Lions 13th, the Sharks stone last, 16th place. Most of the World Cup winning box should be back by this week and in the mix, but there's certainly a lot of work to be done, Jacques.
Absolutely. The Bulls are looking good at this stage. They've done very well considering they didn't have those 4 box in their mix. The Sharks look shocking at the moment. I know there's a lot being said about them with regards to adapting to a new style of play and a new brand and getting used to new coaches, but they've really underperformed for that uni, and they really haven't done well. And hopefully the injection of the World Cup winners will boost them and they can get some wins on the board. But it's not looking too good at this stage. The big positive, I suppose, is the fact that, you know, there's still a very long way to go, and you really, you know, 50% win rate towards the end, and you could get yourself into the top half of the draw and get into the quarterfinals. So there is still hope. I don't think we need to lose hope now, but the South African teams really need to come good here at home. They've got a number of home games to come over the next few weeks. And like I say, hopefully with those Springboks coming back, they can really take charge of this competition and get some wins.
The importance coming across of picking up points on your travels in this cross-continental competition, getting new players elevated to the kind of level and getting used to the rigours of touring. But more about that in the weeks ahead. It's an 18-week tournament, still lots of rugby to be played. Jacques, we'll leave it for now, but before you leave us, it's time for our flop and our gold star awards this week very quickly. The point in time on the podcast where we acknowledge excellence and we hammer mediocrity. My gold star of the week, as much as it pains me, but it goes as a collective to Pat Cummins and his Australian cricket team. Peaking when it mattered most, rising to the occasion, and leaving 1.4 billion people in mourning by downing India to win the 2023 Cricket World Cup. And kudos to Travis Head, the destroyer-in-chief with the bat. My flop of the week, sadly, this week, it's Bafana Bafana.
Ooh, you suck!
We build up our hopes in the team to go places, our enthusiasm then dampened within just days. Notwithstanding the poor pitch conditions, they simply failed to adapt their game plan and style of play and lost 2-0 to a very ordinary Rwanda team this week in a Group C World Cup qualifier. Jacques, where are you leaning?
Yeah, Trevor, I can't disagree with you. I think, you know, you've hit the nail on the head with both of those, but just for the sake of some, you know, a bit of variety, my flop is certainly going to go to the Indian cricket team. You know, they did all the work to get to the final, and they were heavy favourites in that. And, yeah, I just simply couldn't pull it off when it really mattered. I really feel for them. It's disappointing. Yeah, it's one of those things. And then, you know, on the flip side, my stars of the week are their opponents. You know, Australia were fantastic. They seem to be the Springbok team, in inverted commas, of cricket. They just find a way to win when it matters. You know, the Springboks have won 4 World Cups now. I think the Aussies have won 5 or 6 Cricket World Cups. To go with all their other achievements, they're a team that often gets written off, and, you know, they seem to come into these tournaments with not much form often. And, yeah, they lost their first 2 games. They were, you know, down and out nearly in their 3rd game. They turned it around and they didn't lose again, and they went all the way. So well done to Australia. They were fantastic in that final.
Jacques van der Westhuizen, head of Citizen Sport, thanks for joining us, sharing your views with us. As always, great to chat again. And earlier too, of course, big thanks to golf journalist Michael Flismas for his input. My name's Trevor Kramer. This has been Talking Point. You'll find us on citizen.co.za. Click on the multimedia subsection. Podcasts is where you'll find it. Or why not follow the Citizen News on Iono FM? You'll also find the audio version of Talking Point there. And you'll also find the Talking Point video podcast on the Citizen YouTube account. Go and check it out and subscribe. Have an awesome sporting week from me. Cheers.